Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Good to be in studio. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up, Donald in Topeka, Kansas. Hi, Donald.
Hi. I have a serious question for you. Why in 6,000 years hasn't the God of the Jews came back, Yahweh, and why hasn't Jesus come back in 2,000 years? I mean, the Jews have been collecting for 6,000 years. No God has come. A bunch of prophets. I don't know how they got to be the chosen people if their God never arrived. And with Jesus, followers pay a tithe and offering to the church, but their God never comes. Now, the devil, he came back in 2003, and he messed up the churches a whole lot. And Jesus hadn't arrived to help these people out, some of them, out of a nightmarish mess that the devil's put them in.
Yeah, well, I can't make a total coherence out of what you just said, but let me try to give a general answer to your question. All of us are created in such a way that there comes a point in time that we die. And when we die, we are in the presence of God if we are those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. There is going to be a time that Jesus appears a second time. And when He does appear a second time, He'll put all things to right. The dead will be raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. Those who are alive will be transformed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And the final state will ensue, a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. No more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. In the meantime, what we are called to do is be faithful and fruitful. We're going to bear the tribulations of the world for a short time, and then eternity will ensue. Now, what that means from a practical standpoint is that we are not looking for some peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulties of life, but we're looking forward to resurrection. That's what the Christian worldview offers. It doesn't offer us a panacea. It offers us peace in the midst of the storm and then ultimately a resurrection when Jesus appears a second time and when heaven and earth once again are one. The veil between heaven and earth now is in place, but then that veil will disappear and heaven and earth will be a united cosmos in which we will walk again with God in the cool of the day. When Jesus returns, there is no clue about that whatsoever in the Scripture. So we have no clue as to when. The Bible doesn't pretend to tell us. It only tells us that He will appear a second time, and we look forward to that. But it's irrelevant in some sense. I recognize my own mortality, whether I've got another 20 years or 10 years. Once I die, I'm absent from the body, present with the Lord, and I'm awaiting the greatest thing that can happen the time that the dead are raised. So let's say my dad died in 1997. He's absent from the body, present with the Lord. He's awaiting that time that Jesus appears a second time, and then he will be raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. That's the Christian concept, and that Christian concept happens to be based in reality. So some of the things that you were saying in the prologue to your question aren't based in reality, but the Christian faith is, which is to say that we can demonstrate the reality of the Christian faith in that it is not based on blind faith, but rather is based on faith in evidence. We'll go back to the phone lines. Talk to Andrew. He's listening in Seattle, Washington. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Hank. First, I just wanted to say, Hank, I love you, man. I've listened to you for years now, and you are just such a blessing. We really appreciate your ministry.
Well, thank you.
So what I wanted to call and ask you about was, I go to a small, non-denominational Bible church, and over the last few months, I've been talking a lot about the supernatural, talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of this is new to our church. And I just had a question about the prophetic ministry. And so there's a few of our elders that have started this ministry where they lay hands on individuals in the church and they pray over them and they ask for other individuals that are praying over them to all share the words that they've received from God and then try to compare notes and kind of go with the good and throw out the bad. And, you know, that just really didn't sound like prophecy to me. So I just wanted to ask you about this whole idea of personal prophecy and what is the role of prophecy in the church today?
Well, it's a simple question to answer, and probably the definitive passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Prophecy in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is not about foretelling the future. God in His love and grace does not tell us what's going to happen in the future. Rather, He shields the future from us. If we knew the things that would happen in our future, we probably wouldn't want to face our future. God gives us the grace we need when we need it, and oftentimes not a moment before. Prophecy in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 has to do with strengthening and encouraging and edifying and exhorting and equipping the body of Christ, not telling someone what's going to happen in the future through the laying of hands. So the whole notion of foretelling the future is something that's distinctly verboten for believers today. It's something that you find in the life and ministry of the prophets and the apostles, but they're the very foundation by which we test everything else. So their prophecy or their ability to foretell the future told us who they were and now tell us that we can rely on them. So that's the principle. I've written about this in various places. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Don next, Oklahoma. Hi, Don.
How you doing, sir?
Doing well, thank you.
I really appreciate your program. Listen to it every day. You talk about the 3rd and 4th century manuscripts sometime, and you refer to the long ending of Mark. And you say that the manuscripts don't include that in the 3rd and 4th century. But we have Irenaeus, one of the earliest church fathers, and 175, actually not only quoting from the long ending of Mark, but he actually says Mark at the end of his gospel and refers to the ascension and refers to those verses. So the quick question would be, wouldn't that make the 3rd and 4th century manuscripts lacking something? I'm not saying they're unreliable, but wouldn't that make them lacking something that they need versus the Mark, the long ending of Mark being unreliable?
Yeah, it's possible. It's very possible. The only statement that's made is that the most reliable early manuscripts and other ancient witnesses do not have the long ending of Mark. But what you're pointing to is plausible. It is plausible that the long ending of Mark really is part of the text. In fact, it seems in sequence that it would be part of the text. The only statement, again, that we're making is that the best, earliest, most reliable manuscripts don't contain it. But having said that, new manuscripts are being uncovered all the time. A. B. Textual criticism is a science whereby, through the tenacity of the text, the autograph emerges. And at this point, there's at least reason to suspect these verses, and that's why that insertion is made in most of the newer or modern translations. But the premise that you articulated is a plausible premise.
Right. It's almost like the Lord looked down the stream of time and said, somebody is going to deny that this is part of the text, but I think it's unique that in 175, which is what, the second century, that he actually refers to that passage. But okay, thank you very much. I appreciate
it. You got it. And, you know, if you want further detail on this, I've written about the manuscript evidence, not only for the New Testament, but for the Old Testament, in my book, Has God Spoken, where I use the acronym MAPS to lay out the premise that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin, the M standing for the manuscript evidence, the A, the archaeological evidence, the P, predictive prophecy. And then the S stands for an attendant question. If God has spoken, what has God said? So with the S, I actually lay out the answer to that question as well, which in essence is learning to read the Bible for all it's worth. So the book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs for the Divine Inspiration of Scripture, is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. Be right back.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Holly listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Holly.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have a dear friend from college. I've known her almost 20 years now, who recently let me know that she was converting to Judaism and no longer believe that Jesus is the Son of God. As you can imagine, this has been, it was painful for me to hear. And I want to know if you've got any advice for how I can best minister to her in this time of need that she's got.
Yeah, a couple of things that come to mind. You know, I wrote a book called Has God Spoken? And in that book, I demonstrate that Jesus Christ is portrayed in the Old Testament such that for a Jewish person, you can find Jesus Christ portrayed in the old, come to flesh in the new. So his ancestry was marked and his birthplace foretold in the Old Testament. The circumstances surrounding his death were prophesied before crucifixion was invented. The date of his visitation was predicted within historically narrow time parameters. It would be too small for him to bring back only those of Israel, and therefore he was going to be a light to the Gentiles so that salvation could go out to the ends of the earth. So only the hand of God could have etched a prophetic portrait of Christ in the Old Testament, and only God could cause it to take on flesh in the New. Only Jesus of Nazareth could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. The reason I think that's salient and important is because if you can explain that Jesus is the fulfillment of all that came before in the Old Testament, oftentimes you have an opportunity to reach someone who doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is actually the Messiah that is predicted in the Old Testament.
Okay, thank you very much.
You got it. And again, I've written about this in detail in my book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Jason in Des Moines, Iowa. Hi, Jason.
Howdy. I guess this question is being asked not out of spite or with any hostile intent, even though I'm sure it would come across to some of your listeners as such. As a non-believer in any kind of God whatsoever, I'm just wondering what kind of answer Christianity or any kind of Abrahamic-based religion has for the numerous inconsistencies, contradictions, and just outright, for lack of a better term, ridiculousness of the Bible. Clearest example, creationism. This is straight from Genesis, but I'm sure you know. It states God creates day and night on the third day, yet he doesn't create the sun and stars on the fourth day. Well, there's no possible way for there to be day and night on the third day without sun and stars. There's just one example.
Jason, I have to interrupt you for just a second and say that, you know, if you're going to read any kind of literature in the way that you are now reading or interpreting Genesis, you'd make nonsense out of everything. You know, what you're displaying is a rabid fundamentalism in the way that you're reading the book of Genesis. Genesis is a literary masterpiece by any standard. If we were just talking about literary prowess, Genesis is a beautiful piece of work. What you find in the book of Genesis is a hierarchy of creation, not a chronology of creation. And the days of creation are actually used so that you can remember God's creative prowess. And by the way, when you say you don't believe in God, how in the world did this universe come into existence? You have to take the untenable notion in an age of scientific enlightenment that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that comes from non-life produced morals. I mean, that stretches credulity beyond the breaking point for any thinking human being.
But that still absolutely makes absolutely no sense. It's just a never-ending.
What makes no sense? That nothing creates everything?
I mean, if you're going to use that logic,
what logic?
Who created God? And it just goes back and forth of who created who and who created who and who
no.
created who.
No, that's not true. I mean, the universe itself has principles associated with it, which is to say, we can say about the universe that every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. But what is true?
Who created God then? If you're using that logic, you have to have a creator for God.
No, God is an uncaused first cause. So the principles of science that apply to the universe in which we live don't have to apply to God. And by your reasoning, all you'd ever have is an infinite regress. We don't. We point to
an... Exactly. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's an infinite regress of who created who.
No, I'm saying that's your logic. It's not our logic. We don't have an infinite regress because we look at the universe and we say that common sense prevails. When you see a sun, moon, and stars, you cannot logically assume that they just happened. That should stretch your credulity beyond the breaking point. I mean, if the sun were closer to the earth, we would fry. If it was farther away, we'd freeze. The moon is very critical to our survival on earth. If the moon was smaller or farther away, tidal motion would cease and the oceans would stagnate and die. If it was closer, tidal waves would submerge vast areas of land and life would be impossible. So the universe is perfectly designed, and that didn't happen without a designer. Every design presupposes a designer.
I would agree with those statements you said. Those are fantastic statements, true in every bit. However, there's not one bit of biblical teaching that brought anybody to those conclusions. It was all science. I would preface it with that.
But just a sec. You're making dogmatic assertions, and I think what you want to do is make defensible arguments. The Bible does point to natural revelation or general revelation in saying the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth. The Bible also tells us that God's divine nature, his eternal power, are seen in what has been made so that men are without excuse. And I would also submit to you, as you probably know, as a very articulate and learned person who is discussing this subject, that science came out of a biblical worldview. It came out of the notion that God's thoughts could be thought after him. So science developed out of a Christian worldview. Prior to that, if you look at Aristotle or you look at Plato or you look at the great philosophers who had reason but they didn't have revelation, they ended up in worlds in which you can't think God's thoughts after him, in worlds in which you can't have the scientific premise or paradigm which has brought such great enlightenment to the West. So science came out of a biblical worldview. And again, I'm sure you know that from a historical standpoint. At any rate, for anybody listening in, I've written a creation answer book, which gives answers in detail to these and many other questions. And as to whether the Bible is a reliable source, the book Has God Spoken, available through the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Todd next, listening in Newton, Kansas. Hi, Todd.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call, bud. I just got a quick question here. I love the way you're talking about creation and everything. And my concern is I'm a diehard creationist. But the only thing I'm having trouble understanding is through the years people have talked about, well, I believe God created the stars, the universes, and everything. And when some scientist tells me, okay, this star is 10 million light years away, help me understand that, because I'm always thinking, okay, those stars are 10,000 years old. That's how old the Earth is. I believe in a young Earth and a young universe. So is the prism that they judge the starlight through incorrect? Am I wrong? How do I do that?
Yeah, a couple of things I would say, and I unfortunately have seconds to answer your question, but the answers to your question are in my Creation Answer Book. The bottom line is this. If you want to find out how old the universe is, look to General Revelation. If you want to find out God's purposes in creation, look to the Bible. The Bible doesn't give us a chronology. It does give us a hierarchy, which culminates in the crowning jewel of God's creation, humankind, and we are created for fellowship with God, and that fellowship will be restored in recreation. I've answered the age question in the Creation Answer Book. We're out of time. We'll be right back next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.